So I'm riding on a plane, and I have on the same thing I have on right now. And I'm sitting in my seat, and it's really packed. The plane's really, I hate packed planes, but it's just the way it is. And I always get an aisle seat. So I'm sitting in the aisle seat trying to relax, and the two flight attendants, one male, one female, are pulling the cart up the aisle, and all of a sudden they ram into my leg. And because I always stick my leg out in the aisle. And the gentleman says to me, he turns, he says, "Excuse me, sir, I'm sorry." And he looks at me, he says, "Excuse me, are you a rock star?" This is all true. This is the truth. And I said, "Well," he goes, "No, seriously, you're Billy Idol." And I'm like, "Okay, now, no." He goes, "Well, you're an artist or something." I said, "Well, I'm not a rock. I'm a servant of the rock, but I'm not a rock star." So he said, "I swear." He said, "Billy Idol, man, I'm telling you." So anyway, he leaves. And about 30 minutes later, the gal, she comes up to my seat, and she turns around, she looks at me, she goes, "I'm serious. You sure you're not Sting?" Sting has bald hair, right? You know, I'm like, "Hello." I said, "No. No, I'm not. I'm just a humble servant of Christ." So yesterday morning, I'm here in your fair city. And now, you don't have to take this personal or nothing. Please, I hope you don't. But I usually get up at 3 in the morning. That's usually when I get up. So wherever I travel in the world, I always get up at 3, and I'm usually at prayer by about 4:15, and I usually have a prayer walk. And it's just my habit. I've been doing it for many, many years. I've prayer walked around the entire planet Earth, 25,180 miles. That's the truth. So I was out. As you know, Steele lives in that wonderful gated community. And no, it's not gated. It's just a little modest townhouse with a bunch of other townhouses. So I'm like, you know, it's all lit up. There's these lights out, so I'll walk the street, you know, in a circle. No one's out at 4:15 a.m. So I've got my cup of coffee, and I'm walking at my brisk pace, and I'm talking to myself, to God. And about 30 minutes goes by, and all of a sudden, I notice some bright lights behind me, and I'm like, "Well, I better just pull over, you know, and let the car go by." Then the lights kept shining on me, and one particular spotlight, and I turn around, and it's cops. And so I thought, well, I just walk over, be friendly. You know, it's 4:30 in the morning, 4:45. And I walked over. I said, "Excuse me, officer, is something wrong?" He goes, "What are you doing out here?" I said, "Well, actually, I'm on a prayer walk." I know he's never heard that before. You know he has never heard some idiot 4:30 in the morning on a prayer walk. And he gets this big smile. He's like, it said, you know, "Are you serious?" But he didn't say that because I could have been telling the truth, and I was. I said, "Do you have any ID?" I said, "Well, no, sir. It's in my friend's house." He said, "Well, what's the address?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I came out the back door. I just visit here." he said to me, "Well, you're going to need to get your ID." I said, "All right, sir." I said, "Well, I really value this coat a lot. How about if I leave it with you, just so you know, I'll come back?" He said, "I'm not going to take off." He goes, "No, I guess I trust you." I said, "All right, will you wait right here? I'll be right back." So I go get my ID, and I come back, and I hand him my card. And he said, "Now, how did you get here? Did you drive?" I said, "Well, no, actually, I flew." I said, "Well, here you go. Here's my seat assignment. You know, my boarding pass. Shows all my teeth." He goes, "Oh, okay." He said, "You're really out here on a prayer walk?" I said, "I sure am, sir. It's a habit of my life. I don't know what I'd do without the opportunity to pray, talk to God." He said, "Well, what's going on here is we kind of have a neighborhood watch, and someone saw you walking out and said there was some suspicious figure walking around the driveway. My wife warned me this might happen sometime because I do it in our neighborhood, see?" So it happened. Only to me, this kind of stuff happens. This is the truth. So anyway, it's a joy to be in your city. You got wonderful cops. They're very friendly. And I was really glad I didn't get arrested. But that would have been quite a story, wouldn't it? Pastor arrested for praying. for the city of Salt Lake. Anyway, it is a joy to be here with you. And I really feel the Lord has put something in my heart very special for you tonight. This message is entitled, Why Hope? So I'd like us to bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then we'll dive into it. Father, we just thank you today that you are the author of life and the author of hope. And we realize, Lord, that today, if these people are like I am, we look around the world we live in and we just ask ourselves, Lord, why hope? Is there even a reason to hope? Things can look so hopeless, so bleak, so difficult. We ask you, Heavenly Father, tonight that you would give us a vision of the future, that you would help us to understand what it is we got when we came to Jesus and what's coming. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you just minister to our heart, comfort us. I know there's many here tonight. They need comfort. They need encouragement. They need, Lord, wind in their sails. They may be going through something personally very difficult. And you know what that is. So I ask you tonight, use your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, obviously we're getting very close to election. And no one knows exactly how it's going to turn out. But if you're like me, and you look out in the world that you and I live in, we are living through some very, very difficult times. It is not easy at all to be a Christian. In fact, Christians are being persecuted more today than they were actually in the time of the early church. Now, we don't experience it in the same way in this nation. But there are Christians being murdered, persecuted, killed throughout the Sudan, throughout the Middle East, throughout Iraq, throughout Iran, Pakistan in particular. I keep up on these kind of things. I have news information sites that I go to from well-researched, documented, that kind of stuff. So I keep up on this stuff. But our nation itself is just crumbling around us. We have seen our debt go to almost $5 trillion, a $1 trillion increase every single year. And now, you know, you may not know this, but I'm a grandfather. I have 6 grandchildren. And I recognize that unless this cycle stops, we are going to be Greece. Greece is, I get to Berlin, I'll be to Berlin in just a few weeks to our rock church in East Berlin. And I'm telling you, Europe is falling apart. Spain, 25% unemployment. Greece, they're rioting in the streets. All kinds of smashing, breaking stuff, rioting, looting. It is an unbelievable situation. And we have a government that's taking us more and more in that direction, deeper and deeper and deeper into a hole. A few years ago, I bought my first house. Actually, first time I ever bought a house. So I paid about $134,000 for it. It's kind of a twin home. It's called some people call them a duplex. So I own half the house. And then a couple years later, I found out it was worth $165,000. I thought, this is really good. And then a couple years after that, it was worth $191,000. At least that's what the 1-2 houses down sold for, exactly to mine. Recently, I got a little property tax statement. It's now valued at $115,000. Then I got my 401k. You know how that's going. There's a lot of people, older people, I don't happen to be one of them yet, who are living off of their 401k or their retirement. Well, a few years ago, it was worth X amount of dollars, and all of a sudden, $60,000 just gone. We've got people without work. And people are wondering what's going to happen. That's kind of the macro picture of what we see going on. Of course, we see... In a few days, when I get back, I wanted to stay longer, but I wanted to make sure I was back for Tuesday. You know what Tuesday is, right? Okay. Tuesday. It's a very important day. And in my state, I don't know if they've done this in your state. I got a feeling they haven't. I come from a very, very liberal city, Minneapolis. 4.5 million people. We are the San Francisco of the North. I'll just leave it at that. And we are now voting on whether or not marriage should be between a man and a woman or a man and a man. I, like many others, are like, are you kidding? It's come to this. It's come to this. We're aborting and killing millions of babies a year in this country. Nobody's word means anything anymore. People just divorce over the craziest things. And we as a nation, and I am not exaggerating, we are falling apart. We are on an unsustainable path. Completely unsustainable. Then you've got your personal life. So I know some of you are struggling to get out of debt or struggling to find a job. And it's not easy to find a job, or you're dealing with health issues, personal health issues. I've been through all those kinds of things. Almost anything you name, not everything, but almost, I've had to live through or go through as a trial that God brought in some way into my life. And I watched my daughter struggle for her life, for her health, for 7 years, almost seven straight years. We went to doctor after doctor. It was $150,000 out of pocket. I wondered, you know, at any moment, we're just going to go bankrupt. I watched her in pain every day, and I understand how people can feel such a sense of hopelessness. Lord, is this ever going to change? Are my prayers ever going to get answered? And you may be wondering that about your present situation. You may be wondering, Mark, is anything ever going to change? Is anything ever going to change for the better? And I'm here tonight to tell you absolutely, unequivocally, yes, it is. Everything is going to change, and you're going to be there to see it. I cannot promise you what will come between now and then. I can promise you God will be faithful to you, and I want to let you know this is part one of a two-part series. If you go to strongdisciple.com, you can get part two. And part two is really important because there are two primary reasons alone that I am filled with hope. That I am filled with hope. And I'm a realist. I'm not an optimist. I look out in the world and I realize we're in a very, very bad situation. Very bad. We're being lied to by our politicians. We're being lied to by our leadership. We're in a very, very, very bad situation. But there's something that I know, and I want to share it with you tonight. There's something that God is going to do, and it's coming, and you're going to be part of it forever. And so we're going to go through just a few scriptures tonight. I'm not going to go super long tonight, but I want to help you understand what it is that's coming, because quite honestly, maybe many of you have never even heard some of these things before. So the first passage I'd like to read is found in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. All honor to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is by his boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again. Now we live with a wonderful expectation because Christ rose again from the dead. Now we live with a wonderful expectation. Have you ever gone on a vacation? Anybody here ever gone on a vacation? You ever notice how people are with their vacations sometimes? They're like, you know, work is tough, life is hard, and they just focus on their vacation. Recently, my daughter, my oldest daughter, she and her husband went, they're celebrating 10 years of marriage. I can't even believe it. I have two children, been married 10 years. It's hard to believe, but it's true. So they were going to go back to British Columbia to visit Victoria and Victoria Island, where they celebrated the honeymoon. And she's just been on the phone telling me, you know, for the several months leading up to Dad, I'm so excited about this. It just keeps me so pumped. It just keeps me pushing through some of the difficulties that I've been personally facing, Dad. And as we're driving to the airport, she's showing my wife on her smartphone all the pictures and all the stuff that they're going to see and everything they're going to do as she visualizes in her mind what she's going to experience. That's what a vacation is like. It gives us something to expect, something to hope for. And this is what God has for you and I. We live with this wonderful expectation, except I have found that a lot of Christians do not live with much expectation because they don't get it. Because they don't understand. They haven't pictured. They don't grasp what the Bible says is going to happen. We'll get to that in a moment. For God has reserved a priceless inheritance for his children. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And I love that. It won't be defiled. It won't decay. No one can steal it from you. It's not going to lose its value. You're not going to wake up one day and all your life savings is gone. God has something reserved for you and I. And I want you to know it's a lot more than you realize. And God in his mighty power will protect you until you receive this salvation because you were trusting him. See, you thought you already had salvation, but you don't. That's interesting, isn't it? Okay, let me explain it. You've been saved from your sin. You haven't been saved from this mess that we're living in. You've been saved from sin. You've been saved from eternal damnation. You've been saved from the power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to have to be subdued by sin and dominated it for the rest of your life. But we haven't been saved from this miserable body we're stuck in. And we haven't been saved from this miserable planet that we live on. And we haven't been saved from all these miserable... Please bear with me when I say this, because if you're here this morning, you know that I really love people. But I'm going to take a little different side of the coin tonight. We haven't been saved from all these morons that we have to live with. We haven't been saved. We haven't. You know what the Bible says? See, I want you to understand that sometimes as Christians, we live very conflicted. Emotionally, we feel very conflicted inside. And sometimes you feel guilty about that. You're like, Lord, I don't know. I want to love my neighbor, but David, he cursed me, I can't stand him. That's natural. That means you're a godly person. Let me explain why. Okay? Let me explain why. I want you to understand something. Okay? You know what the Bible says about Lot? It says, Lot's righteous soul was tormented night and day by the lawless deeds of wicked men around him. That's why this administration is bothering you. That's why the state of affairs is bothering you. Because we have abandoned our morality and embraced immorality. And it's driving you crazy. That's a fact. If you love God, you're in the Word of God, you walk the Holy Spirit... It's eating at you. Your righteous soul is being tormented night and day by the lawlessness, the carnality, the evil that's going on, and it's being called good. And that's even worse. And it's painful, and it's difficult. Then at the same time, you're trying to love the people around you who often are causing you this pain. Oh, miserable man that I am, who will deliver me from this? Let me tell you what's coming. Okay? Let me help you understand what's coming because it is way more than most Christians understand. And so he says here, God in his mighty power will give us this salvation because we're trusting him. It will be revealed on the last day for all to see. Look at this. So be truly glad. Be glad. Get excited, man. Rejoice. Wonderful joy is ahead. Wonderful joy. Even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a time. One version says, even though for now it's necessary that you're harassed and aggravated by trials. There's wonderful joy ahead. But what is that joy? All right, so now we're going to go to 2 Peter. And of course, I find it so interesting that Peter gets to write about all this stuff. I'm kind of jealous. I wish I was the one who got to tell it all first, because it's pretty amazing. So we go to 2 Peter chapter 3. This is my second letter to you, dear friends. Now, I have to remember that he's writing to Jewish Christians who are scattered throughout the world at that time, the Middle Eastern world, who are enduring unbelievable persecution. Unbelievable difficulties. They're being harassed. They're being murdered. They're being tortured. What the Romans did to the Christians in the first century was unbelievable. They used to take Christians and sew them up in animal skins still alive and allow the lions of the Colosseum to maul them. Nero would use them to light the courtyard of his palace. I won't tell you anymore because it'd make you sick. Down through the ages, let me tell you, without exception, the most persecuted people in the world through the ages has been the people of God, the Christians. It's a very, 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 very uncomfortable existence for us here. To try to love our God, walk with God, and live in an upright, moral, and honorable way, it is tormenting in one form or another. Dear friends, I'm writing to you, and in both of them, I've tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. I want you to remember and understand what the holy prophets said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded through the apostles. First, I want to remind you that in the last days, there will be scoffers who will laugh at the truth. They will do every evil thing they desire. If that isn't going on today around the world, I don't know when a time has been like that. I am a student of history, and I'm telling you, there is great evil going on all over our world. Again, I realize as young people in here, I won't tell you some of the things that I know. Some of the things that are being done in Sudan, that are being done in Darfur. If I started to talk about them, it just make me weep. We live in the most evil, wretched, pathetic time in the history of man. The things that are going on in our world. And people scoff at the truth on almost every continent. And every nation that I know, they scoff at righteousness. They scoff at godliness. They scoff at God and God's truth. This will be their argument. So Jesus said he'd come back, did he? So where is he? Why, as far back as anyone can remember, everything has remained exactly the same since the world was first started or created or evolved. They deliberately forget that God made the heavens by the word of his command. And he brought the earth up from water, surrounded it by water. Now listen to this. Then he used the water to destroy the world with a mighty flood. And God has also commanded that the heavens and the earth will be consumed by fire on the day of judgment when ungodly people will perish. Now let me ask you a question, all right? How many of you believe Jesus Christ came the first time? Jesus, how many of you, Jesus was born? We celebrate Christmas. Christmas is the birth of the King of Kings. Easter is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Savior of the world. There is more archaeological evidence and ancient manuscript evidence to the life and times of Christ than any other single fact of ancient history. Christ came. He was born. He lived. He died. Before he died, he did miracles. Hundreds of thousands of people witnessed them. And then he died. Now, you believe that? But let me tell you something else. How many of you have ever been to the Grand Canyon? Anybody here ever been to the Grand Canyon? Raise your hand really high. All right. How many of you walked to the edge, just kind of took your breath away? It's just like overwhelming, isn't it? Do you know what the Grand Canyon is? I don't think anyone's ever told you what the Grand Canyon is. The Grand Canyon is a monument to the judgment of God on this planet. It's a monument to the judgment of God when he destroyed almost 400 million people and saved only 8. Because of the wickedness and the degradation of human beings and their carnality and their scoffing and their wretchedness. And abuse. He destroyed them. I know you didn't learn that at school, but let me just read a couple things to you. Evidences for the Genesis flood. It's all over the world, actually. But the Grand Canyon, for sure. Fossils of sea creatures high above sea level due to the ocean waters having flooded over the continents. We find fossils of sea creatures in the rock layers that cover all the continents. For example, most of the rock layers in the walls of the Grand Canyon, more than a mile above sea level, contain marine fossils. Fossilized shellfish are even found in the Himalayas. Evidence number two, the rapid burial of plants and animals. We find extensive fossil graveyards and exquisitely preserved fossils. For example, billions of nautiloid fossils are found in the layer within the red wall limestone of Grand Canyon. This layer was deposited catastrophically by a massive flow of sediment, mostly lime sand. The chalk and coal beds of Europe and the United States, the fish, insects, and other fossils are found around the world testify of catastrophic destruction and burial. I want to acknowledge that these geological evidences have been elaborated on by my colleague, Dr. Steve Austin, at the Institute for Creation Research in his book, Grand Canyon, Monument to Catastrophe. You can get the book if you want. You can do your own investigation. But I'm telling you, it's not a joke. God said he would judge the world. He did. And there's evidence all around the world. Well, it's coming again. But it's good news for you and me. Listen really carefully. It's good news because it's only the beginning. Here's what he goes on to say. You must never forget, dear friends, that a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. 1,000 years is like a day. What he means by that is not a day equals 1,000 years. That's not what it says. It means that because of God's great patience, waiting around for 1,000 years to God is like a day. It does not mean, as some have tried to extrapolate, that, oh, that would explain the creation in 7 days. Each day was like 1,000 years. No, that's not what it was, because the night and the day was ruled by the sun, the night by the moon. Those are 24-hour days. God, and Peter is trying to illustrate to you that God has an extreme amount of patience. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise to return, as some people think. You see that? To return. He's coming back. A lot of people think the last thing that Jesus said was the Great Commission. And the actual words that Jesus said, those were the last words. But that was not the last words, the last heavenly words that the disciples heard. The last heavenly words they heard as they watched Jesus lifting off the planet, rising through the sky, was angelic beings who said, "Brothers, why do you gaze up into heaven? This same Jesus who you see leaving will return." He will return. He came the first time. He flooded the world. He rose from the dead. He's going to return. As some people think. God is being patient for your sake. He doesn't want anyone to perish. So he's giving more time for everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise. Notice that. The heavens, they'll pass away. They'll be gone. The galaxies, all of them. And everything in them will disappear in fire. And the earth and everything on it will disappear in fire. Since everything around us is going to melt away, what holy, godly lives should you be living? You should look forward to that day and hurry it along. Wait a minute. I love this. See, this is my Mark's promise right here. I get excited about destruction. Because my Bible tells me to look forward to it. Why, it says here, you ought to hurry this along. You ought to be wishing and praying, oh Lord, I hope it's today. What day? The day when God will set the heavens on fire, the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to new heavens and new earth that he has promised, a world where everyone is right with God. Oh my gosh, do you know how I dream of that? Do you know how this keeps me going every single day through all the crap, all the lies, all the propaganda, all the BS? It's coming. Now listen, here's what's so amazing. Most Christians, they have a very, very small view, small view of heaven. Like, I die and go to heaven. No, there's a lot more coming than that. First of all, we're going to get to this in just a moment, Revelation 21. There's going to be brand new heavens, okay? Galaxies upon galaxies upon galaxies and planets. Secondly, there's going to be a new earth, and we're going to be hanging out on all of it. There won't be any need for Scotty to beam you up, because like Jesus, who could be on the road to Emmaus, and then boom, he's in the upper room, and then boom, he walks through walls, will be your body. Your glorified body. And it will never get sick. And there'll be no pain. And there'll be no sorrow. And there'll be no tears. and we will live in this new world, this new planet with these new heavens. They're all ours forever and ever and ever. And there'll never be any unrighteousness, no temptation, no carnality, no flesh, no lies. Nothing evil. Everything right with God. And I'll tell you something else. I believe the scripture indicates, for those of you that may wonder sometimes, does the Lord have the power to create the world? You will be there when he does it, because the Bible indicates we will be at the judgment, watching, observing what goes on. It's after that great judgment that God brings judgment on the entire universe and destroys it all. We will see it. Do you understand this? You will see it, and then you will watch him go, let it be, let it be. New heavens, boom, there they are. New planets, boom, new earth, bam, and there it is. And you will have seen the extraordinary creative power of God. Now in Revelation 21, our last passage tonight, the Apostle John has the same vision. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Not, as some like to say, a restored earth. Ain't no restoration here. It's a brand new one. The old one was destroyed, blown to smithereens, melted away. I gotta tell you, it's going to take a lot of heat. And maybe you've seen some lava. We're talking the judgment of God. When he comes back, when he destroyed it with a flood, that was water. When he destroys his baby with a fire, I'm telling you, it's going to melt to nothing. It'll be gone. And we'll be safe in the bosom of God. And the sea, the new heaven and the new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. And the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a beautiful bride prepared for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, the home of God is now among us. He will live with us. We will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will remove all their sorrow. There'll be no more pain, death, crying. For the old world and its evils are gone forever. Gone. Do you understand how extraordinary this is going to be? Some of you here I know have lost loved ones that knew the Lord, and you miss them desperately. Let me tell you something. You're going to be with them. And they're going to be with you. And you're going to go on walks. You're going to have brand new woods to discover. There are going to be brand new animals there to see. You're going to be on a new galaxies together. Have you ever been at like, you know, one of your rock, you know, what? I don't know if you guys have picnics or what you do. And you get together and it just always seems to end too soon. Imagine a 100-year rock picnic. Just 100 years. What's 100 years? You got forever to live. And you're just hanging out with the people that you love the most, that you served with or you loved or you were close to. And they meant so much to you. Never any separation. No jealousies. No anything getting in the way. No suspicion. Just total connection with one another in extraordinary fellowship together. And all the things you'll get to talk about and share together and explore. And this new worlds of God's, you will never come to the end of it. And you'll have forever and forever and it doesn't cost a dime. No more IRS. No more money to earn. No more work to do. No more boredom. Just the extraordinary fellowship with the body of Christ and the Son of God. And, you know, you can imagine you're sitting and here we are. And we've been there now for 15 years, and Steele's just led us in worship. Now we got your other band up. I've heard you got a whole bunch of bands. So we got the next one up, and all of a sudden, up walks God. Hey, guys, how are you doing? You're that rock group, man. I knew you. I remember you guys. Of course I remember you guys. I bought you. It's the Lord. Lord, sit down. Oh, no problem. I'm going to worship with you. Go ahead. Lead me in one of your favorite songs. Because he's going to walk among us. Walk among us, and he's our God. And we've got this brand new world. And then, there's one other component. I just read it. There's the new heavens. There's the new earth, the planet that we live on. And we go in between them all. And then, There's the holy city, 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. It's really, really big. Hanging in the sky. Think of the craziest movie you've ever seen with all somebody's wild imagination. There's this crazy cube hanging in the sky made out of jewels, translucent gold. And we go in and out of that. And the river flows from the throne of God, which is the healing of the nations, as the Bible calls it. No more wars, no more famine, no more suffering, no more abortions, no more divorce. Evil won't even be talked about. It won't even come up in our conversation because now, and I won't cover this tonight because I know you want to get to your worship. You go to Romans chapter 8 and we also get a new body. A new body. Nothing, your inside, it's all you. It's you, but you're going to have a new body, and that body won't get tired, that body won't get weary, that body won't get sick, and there'll be food. Food to enjoy, stuff that you can't even imagine that God has for you, His children, His precious bride. He loves you. This is what's coming. This is why you and I, no matter how dark the situation gets, no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how crazy our world gets, we have hope. We can be truly glad. We don't have to come unglued. We don't have to just give in to all the insanity, feel like we're going to lose our mind. Because there's a new world coming. There's a new world coming, and it's our world. It's our world. Now, some of you here may be offended by this tonight. I'm sorry if you are. God wants you to be a part of this. Any person. God is not a respecter of persons. Man, woman, child, black, red, or yellow, wherever you come in the world. God loves everyone. You must come to Christ. You come to Christ, you're in. But I'm telling you, this is our hope. Be very careful you don't get too attached to the world you're on right now. Because it's all going to fry. This has helped me immensely stay focused on what God has for me here. This is what's kept me focused from spinning my wheels, going to get the cabin I've always wanted to have. When I graduated from high school, I wanted one thing. 1975, I hitchhiked to Colorado. I went into homestead land, built myself a cabin, be done with the human race, and live in the woods. That's what I wanted to do. I had all the books to do it. I have the drive to do it. There's no doubt about it. And God gave me my own Damascus Road, knocked me down, almost killed me, and woke me up, and I was a new man. I embraced Jesus Christ. He changed my life. I never regret it. And there is not, and this is honest to God truth, I don't mind visiting cabin, but there's not 1 ounce of my body that wants one. I could care less. People ask me, Mark, do you like to travel? I love to go do what I do. I hate to travel. Traveling is no fun at all. It's pathetic. Mark, do you want to see places in the world? I don't want to see places in the world. I can buy planet Earth. I've seen planet Earth. I've seen all the places in the world. Why do I want to spend money to go? It's all a ghetto compared to what I'm going to get. It's a ghetto. It's like a dump. Oh, yes, it inspires me because my God made it, but it's infected with sin. It's like asking me if I want a gangrene leg. You know, you got to learn to see with the right eyes. I was telling a friend once, I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but, you know, I'm kind of a perfectionist. And no matter where I go, whatever I do, it never, ever, ever fully satisfies me. Because there's always something I realize, the meat was a little cold. You know, the pie was a little, well, it's fattening. It's just, everything about this world is disappointing. Here's what I feel like living in this world. It's like eating a delicious meal, and the whole time you're smelling sewer gas. Have you ever had that happen? That's what living on planet Earth is like to me. I'm sorry if it's different for you, but that's what it's like for me. I don't mind the meal. I'm thankful for the meal, but it's a stench of sewer gas, the stench of wretched sin that makes me want to vomit. I cannot even believe what's going on in the world in which I live today. I cannot even believe in the things that I know many so-called Christians are giving themselves to and doing. And I cannot wait. I am counting the days, though I don't know how many there are, till my Lord comes back and he burns it all and he makes it all new. And my body's new and the earth is new. And I'm there with my family and I'm there with all of you. And we get to bring all of our rocks together and we just get to go on this gigantic voyage. Like, oh, I want to go to the planet Xantar. You know, and we're going to go over here. You know, we're just going to go over here. Hey, guys, let's meet up. Yeah, 1,000 years from now, and let's go back. Okay, awesome. You're going to, I could go on and on, but I should probably not. This is what the Bible teaches. If you believe that Jesus died for your sins, well, that's in the Bible. The Bible teaches that. This is your birthright. Do you understand? This is what's coming. You've only received a little deposit of your inheritance according to the Bible. You haven't gotten the real gigantic one yet. That's still coming. That's our hope. That's why we keep enduring. That's what we hold on to. That's why we go through the trials. Life is full of pain and then we die. We don't die. We live, man. We go to Extraordinaryville. We go to this new place. Up there with the Lord, if I was to die right today, I'd go to be with the Lord right now. The new earth, new heaven isn't done yet, but I'm in God's heaven. I'm with him. And I can still see all of the saints and all of my friends and loved ones. And then I'm just there waiting with God, enjoying his presence, enjoying wonderful fellowship until that time comes when the new world, the ultimate world comes where righteousness is at home. And then God will actually live among us. Right now, to be honest, he lives in us in spirit form, and he's there. He does not literally live here in bodily form. He will be with us in bodily form, in spiritual form, in every way imaginable. That's what's coming for you and I as a believer. Do not lose heart. Don't lose heart. I understand that the road is difficult. For some of you, it's going to get a lot more difficult. Hang on. Hang on to these promises. Go over them yourself. It's right there in black and white. And imagine what's coming. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight for the extraordinary gift, the extraordinary life that you have for us, the extraordinary future that we have as believers. It blows my mind, Lord. I cannot wait. Frankly, as I've told my wife, I've seen enough. I've done enough. There's no more I need. If I have no more grandchildren, it's okay with me. Jesus, come back now. As the apostle said, Maranatha, come back quickly, Lord. I want you back. And I just praise you, Lord, that it is as certain as the ground that I stand on today, it is certain as the hand in front of my face, is as certain as your spirit who lives in me, who saved me. You're coming back, and you're going to give us a new world, a new heaven. I pray, Lord, that you'd bring us great comfort, that you'd give us great encouragement, and that we would get our eyes on eternity and off these temporal, meaningless things that we are surrounded by today. Might we live a more passionate, godly, and holy, that means devoted, singularly devoted to the mission that you have for us, because everything we see is going to be gone. It's going to be gone. Work in us mightily, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.